Now, I'm going to do something I haven't done before, and that's give my message a title. And I'm going to call it God's Spiritual Vaccine for COVID-19. And I'll explain that as we go on. Of course, we've been involved in this worldwide pandemic and the last 9 or 10 months or so, and it's definitely going to continue. But it's really forced us into making some many changes in our life. For example, we have to isolate ourselves from our friends and family. There's a stress of importance on hand washing, social or physical distancing, the wearing of a mask, and many things like that. We haven't been used to doing that, but now they've become a part of our life. For many of us, I think it's left us with a feeling of loneliness, frustration, and really discouragement. And I base that on our observations at Lookout Ridge. As you know, my wife Kathy and I are volunteer chaplains at Lookout Ridge. We've been there since it opened. And 13 years ago, last March, they had been closed down for 5 months. And it was very difficult for them. I talked to many of the residents when we were allowed back in to do our Bible studies. And they explained that there was a feeling of loneliness and discouragement and frustration. In fact, I had one resident tell me if it was ever going to be a lockdown again, he was going to try and get the virus because he couldn't stand the lockdown. Did you know that there is an individual in the Bible who faced a similar circumstance and experience and had the same feelings you and I probably are feeling or have had during this pandemic? And of course, his name is David. David in the Old Testament, perhaps, is best known for his defeat of Goliath, a 9-foot-3 giant representing the Philistine army. And David, the shepherd boy with his slingshot and one stone, kills Goliath. Now, as a result of David's victory, David became very popular amongst the Hebrew people. Now, you might think that David would have had a smooth life, no problems, just like today before the pandemic. But that's not how life is, as we can attest to this pandemic we're going through. David found out what you and I know, that we go through life facing trials and tribulations. Now, here is the situation David found himself in, and I'm just going to offer a short summary. The new king in Israel was a man named Saul, and Saul became very jealous of David's popularity. So much so that he planned on killing David. So Saul and his army set out to look for David. Listen to what David did in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. It says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to them. David hid in a cave. David's family and others who feared King Saul went to be with David. And that would be a big social bubble in our definition today. But listen to the next verse. It tells us what David and the others actually experienced. Verse 2 of 1 Samuel 22. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented or bitter, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So these people, possibly David, felt very lonely, I think, and David probably wondered, how am I going to handle this situation? And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation and we feel very lonely. Again, the observation at Lookout, there's over 200 residents there, and they still felt lonely during that first lockdown. And of course, that feeling of loneliness, the definition of that is an absence of a meaningful relationship. And sometimes we go through that in our own lives, feeling very lonely, especially with this pandemic, and we're forced to stay inside, and we miss that relationships that we've had with friends and family. And what David experienced, I think it sounds like some of us today, isolated and fearful of this virus. But I believe God gives us an answer, and I call it a spiritual vaccine. Now, one thing about God's spiritual vaccine, it's 100% effective as opposed to what they're offering today in the vaccine from various companies. There's no lineup to get God's vaccine. And there are other similarities, but God's spiritual vaccine, I think, is something we can apply to our life today to help us through this most difficult time that we're going through. I think we could start by asking the question, how did David feel, and what did he do to cope with his situation? Many Bible scholars believe that David shared his thoughts, his innermost thoughts and feelings, in Psalm chapter 13. And if you have your Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 13. It's only 6 verses, and we'll read that together, and I think you'll notice particularly how David feels. Psalm 13. David's writer, he says, "How long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy," or love, as it is written in some translations. "My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." I think these are some of the experiences David was feeling while he was in the cave with all his family and his friends. In verses 1 and 4, we can see David's emotional state. I think he felt in fear of his enemy. Saul had the means, he had the army, he had the power, he had the desire, and he went out and he wanted to kill David. I think some people today might be feeling this experience of fear in their life. Fear that this COVID virus might take their life. Now, fear is an interesting concept, and we can't go into a great deal. I think it was Sir Winston Churchill back in World War II had the phrase, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." And that might have worked for Churchill back then, but really doesn't do anything for me. And I think if you look in the Bible, when it tells us to fear not, God always tells us or gives us a reason why we should fear not. I'm going to invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. This is a very interesting experience the Lord Jesus had with the disciples. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, and in verse 9. I'm just going to give you a little bit of background of what's going on here. The disciples and the Lord Jesus were heading to Bethany. The Lord wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead to demonstrate his deity. But the disciples came to Jesus and said, we fear the people in the area. They might take your life, and we don't want you to go. And here was the Lord Jesus' response to these disciples in John chapter 11 and verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world." And so the Lord Jesus is saying, are there not 12 hours in a day? What did the Lord Jesus mean by that? Well, one writer has said this. He was declaring that every person who is faithful to the Heavenly Father will live out the full day of his allotted time. So we don't have to fear when we're going to die. God will give us an allotted time. If we're faithfully following and serving the Lord, he will give us our allotted time here on earth. Now, of course, some people have a shorter time before God calls them home. I think a few weeks ago, there was a young boy who was killed in Hamilton as he was crossing a street. And by all accounts written and on television, that he knew the Lord and served the Lord and loved the Lord. But God, for some reason, we don't know why, took him to heaven. Now, of course, his parents are believers and they're comforted by the fact that they'll see him again. But my thought, other than feeling sad for the whole situation, was, Boy, God must really want this young boy. He must have a real purpose in eternity for him. But then I think sometimes our allotted day is a long period of time. I think of my wife's grandfather, Mr. Robertson. He lived to over 93, and he faithfully served the Lord as an elder, as a speaker in his local assembly. And the Lord allowed him to have 93 years. And so we can see this idea of fear. We don't want to let it overcome us. One writer commenting on the Lord Jesus' comment here on your 12 hours, he says, "Are you fearful and worried that an accident or unexpected illness might take someone close to you? Do you interpret every twinge of pain in your body as a harbinger of premature death? If so, recognize this faithless attitude as sinful and confess it to Christ. Then trustfully rejoice that only when you have fulfilled your 12 hours will he take you home to be with himself." And so just a little comment on fear. We have to be careful that this pandemic doesn't grip us in a state of fear. In fact, I counted 12 times in the Gospels where it tells us to fear not. In fact, one of them at the Christmas period, I'm sure you remember, the angel appears to the shepherds, and the angel says, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of glad joy." And he explains to the shepherds that a Savior has been born. And that's the idea of fear. When God says, "Fear not," he gives us something to hope in, to trust in. And that's why we have to be very careful of fear. I came across the comment that says this: "Fear is keeping things in your own hands. Faith is turning them over into the hands of God." Well, back to Psalm 13. If you turn back there, I want to get a sense of, in verse 1 and 4, how David feels. He gets this sense of being alone and the fact that he's wondering where God is. How come his enemies seem to be winning? And he senses that God has forgotten him. And he wants to know, how long is my situation going to last? How long am I going to be in this cave? Am I going to wait till Saul finds me? And I might ask you, what problems are you going through? What problems are you and I facing? My problems may be different than yours. Certainly COVID is a problem. Perhaps it is financial or physical or a family situation that you're feeling alone and wondering, how am I going to get through this difficulty? But David, he's probably asking, when is this situation going to end, and why is God not listening to me? Well, what did David do? What should you and I do? Now, something else I have done in this message that I've never done before, I've made it a little acrostic to help us understand what God's spiritual vaccine is for this pandemic. And it spells the word part, P-A-R-T. And it's what's our part in enjoying and benefiting from God's spiritual vaccine. If you look at verse 3, we see the first part of God's answer, and that is in verse 3, he says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord." He's praying to God. He's praying to God, asking for guidance. The Bible says if we know the Lord Jesus personally, our prayers will not fall upon deaf ears. What a great encouragement that is. In our difficulty, we can go to the God of heaven and explain our difficulties, our trials and tribulations. And indeed, God is a guide for us. He answers our prayers according to his will, his way, his timing, and of course, for his glory. And now I challenge you, how much time are you spending in prayer? How much time am I spending in prayer? It's a big subject unto itself, and we're not going to go into this, other than to remember this in regard to prayer. The goal of prayer is not simply to escape turmoil, but to learn to depend on the Lord instead of ourselves. Let me say that again. The goal of prayer is not simply to escape turmoil, but to learn to depend on the Lord instead of ourselves. I think this thought finally clicked into David's mind because his attitude changes in the psalm. It goes for gloom in verse 1 to 4 to gladness in verse 5 and 6. And I had to ask myself, what the change? What caused the change? What's the secret David suddenly discovered? And I think you read 5 and 6, you finally realize that his eyes are turned on the Lord, firmly on the Lord. So now here is our spiritual vaccine. First of all, David prays. Next in verse 5, it says that he trusted in God, in God's love. If you look at verse 5, but I have trusted in the, now the King James says mercy, but in many translations it says love. In fact, they sometimes put the word unfailing love. They trusted in God's unfailing love. You know, I love that thought, God's unfailing love for me. It really reminds me of the intimate relationship we have with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, God's love is not a theory, it's not a philosophy, it's an intimate relationship God wants to have with each believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our friends and family may let us down, but God's love is fully trustworthy. And I think this is the A in our acrostic. Pray, and then an appreciation of God's unfailing love for each of us. Now, of course, there are many verses in the Bible that speak of God's love. The most familiar one, I would say, would be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what a great comfort that verse is. There's a warning, if we choose not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will perish, eternally separated from God forever. But what a comfort it is to know if we believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to a cross, and there he took upon himself our sins, because he was sinless, and he bore our sins. He shed his blood. He died for us and was raised the third day. I love the verse in Romans 5:8. It says, God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So David had an appreciation for God's unfailing love. Next in verse 5, if you look at there, it says, my heart shall rejoice in my salvation. And that's what the R stands for. He rejoiced in his salvation. You see, David believed 100% in God. His faith, his belief, his trust was absolutely in God. And I ask you, is that who your trust and faith is in? I was age 21 and I'd heard the gospel all my life. In Sunday school and young people's, I had it in my head but not in my heart. And it was a verse that my Sunday school teacher had taught me to memorize in Matthew 11:28. And it says this, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest or peace. Come unto me, all that labor. That word labor means working, going through difficult physical exhaustion. Heavy laden speaks of our emotional distress, and we go through difficult times, physical or emotional. But God gives us an invitation. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. If you're going through a difficult time, whether it's the burden of sin in your life, as it was in my case, or just going through difficult times, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's prepared to give you rest and help in your difficult situation. I often say the Lord Jesus, when you come to him as Savior and Lord, he's not a bridge over troubled waters, but he's a captain and a guide through them. Rejoice in your salvation. Just a little aside here, sometimes at night I find difficult to sleep, and I used to drink sleepy time tea and spray a little different spray on the pillow to help me to sleep. But what I've found recently is when I'm ready to go to sleep, I think back of that night in the city of Toronto at the age of 21 when I trusted in the Lord. And I go over that, and it just brings me peace of mind. And then I continue on and think how the Lord has directed me in my life, how the Lord has blessed me in allowing me to go and help in certain areas in my life. And before long, I fall asleep. So save you money on buying sleepy time tea and other things. Just rejoice in your salvation. You're going to bed at night. Think of that time and how the Lord saved you. Maybe you were saved as a young child. Well, think how God has blessed you and directed you in your life. So David prays, and he had an appreciation for God's love for him, and he rejoiced in the fact that God had saved him, Our final part is in verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I think that's a very encouraging verse that David realized how God had blessed him in the past. Maybe David thought, oh, I remember that victory I had over Goliath the giant, and maybe that encouraged them. But I think the T in our acrostic of part is to trust in the promises of God. As we go through our daily walk and our daily life, think of the promises God has made for you and I. How has he helped you in the past? David realizes how God had blessed him in the past, and likely it was his defeat over Goliath. Probably he thought, I remember how God was with me. And this really encouraged him, I believe. And I think it's for good for you and for me as well to think how God has helped us in the past through our trials and tribulations. Maybe you've gone through a difficult job experience, a relationship experience, an illness, and God has seen you through that difficult time. I think this is what David is talking about there. He looks back in his life and is so encouraged. And I think in keeping with that, we have to remember the promises of God. One writer has noted that there are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. I might ask you, what is your favorite promise? Well, I don't think we can just have one. I think one of my favorite is 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sidlow Baxter adds an adjective to that verse to help us better understand it. And this is what Baxter writes. Casting all your anxious cares upon him, for he affectionately cares for you. Many a times I said, Lord, I have no idea what I'm going to do with this problem. I'm just going to cast it upon you. And it's wonderful to know the promises of God. They can be a very help in these times of difficulty. So during this pandemic, think back on how God has helped you and trust in the promises that God has given in his holy word. Well, conclusion, what happened to David? Well, he waited for God. He waited on God. And we know that Saul was killed. David was made king in Israel. And if we follow David's tree all the way down, we'll see that the Lord Jesus came from the family tree of David. How will this pandemic end? Well, wouldn't it be nice if I had an answer? We won't know, and it's not much good to speculate. We know that God has a purpose, and we know that God is in control of the situation, and God is sovereign, and he will allow things to happen, but he's still on the throne. I came across the chorus. I didn't know this in Sunday school, but people tell me this was a very common chorus around here at Pelham Road or at Brockview here. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. So as we face this pandemic, let us apply God's vaccine to this pandemic. Let us remember to pray. Let us remember to appreciate God's unfailing love. Let's remember to rejoice in our salvation. And let's remember to trust in the promises of God. I think when we do this, what will really grip our heart is that God loves us, God cares for us, and God will guide us. What a beautiful and spiritual vaccine this is to help us through this difficult pandemic. I'm just going to close with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to have Ian play a song on the promises of God. This song was by Abigail and Lindsay Taylor and Rob Cretney, and it's very encouraging to look at the words that you see in this five-minute music video. It encourages us to trust in the promises of God. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we acknowledge that we're going through difficult times with this pandemic. It can leave us in fear, discouraged. It can lead us downhearted and in distress. But Father, we're so thankful we can realize that you are a supreme God and you're still on the throne. And as the chorus says, we'll remember his own. And so, Father, help us to learn the lessons that David did. He prayed. He appreciated your unfailing love for him. He rejoiced in his salvation, and he trusted in the promises of God. Father, we pray that this might become a vibrant part of our life as we live in these most difficult times. Father, we thank you and praise you for your lovely Son, and we ask these things in his name. Amen.
Down the thunder roars, my ship's about to break. It seems as if the Savior sleeps, it's more than I can take. I plead, I pray, please show the way, but silence fills the again comes that accusing voice, where's God and all his care? But I have found a safe retreat, a place my faith can go. I rest upon God's promises and all the things I know. I know. retreat, a place my faith can.